Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, the 31st of March, Pope Francis clears the path for the canonization of three new saints. Violence continues to rage on in Sudan as the leader of the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces pledges to retake the capital. But first, Gaza faces worsening devastation as Israeli military operations continue. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. As Palestinians in Gaza marked the end of the holy month of Ramadan, Israeli mass evacuation orders for nearly all of Rafah forced over a million displaced people towards a so-called safe zone. As Francesca Mello reports, with the ceasefire collapsed, essential supplies blocked, and hospitals barely functioning, Gaza faces worsening devastation as Israeli military operations continue.
As families in Gaza marked Eid al-Fitr, what should be a celebration marking the end of the holy month of Ramadan, Palestinians in Gaza prepare for the worst. The Israeli military issued mass evacuation orders covering nearly all of Rafah, the last refuge for over a million displaced Palestinians, signalling a potential large-scale ground operation. Most in Rafah have already been displaced multiple times, forced even further south by relentless Israeli attacks. Now they are directed to Muazi, a so-called safe zone where Israeli bombings killed two people and injured others today, on the same day the evacuation was ordered. The renewed offensive follows a collapse of a ceasefire with Hamas earlier this month. Israel has further restricted food, fuel and medicine, deepening an already dire humanitarian crisis. Hospitals are barely functioning and aid agencies warn of famine. As the conflict rages, Netanyahu has proposed keeping Israeli security control over Gaza and even relocating its population. The war, triggered by Hamas-led attacks on Israel on the 7th of October, has inflicted catastrophic losses. Gaza's health ministry reports over 50,000 Palestinians killed, while nearly 90% of the population has been displaced. With essential infrastructure in ruins and basic supplies scarce, the humanitarian crisis worsens, leaving Palestinians trapped in an unending cycle of devastation. I'm Francesca Merlo.
The victims of the March 28th devastating earthquake in Myanmar has surpassed 1,700, but estimates say the death toll could exceed 10,000. Thousands are injured and tens of thousands have been left homeless and without basic necessities. Despite the gravity of the catastrophe, the civil war that has ravaged the country since 2021 continues with the military junta still bombing parts of the country, despite several appeals for a ceasefire. Lisa Zengarini reports.
Since the two massive earthquakes of March the 28th, several aftershocks have been recorded in Myanmar. As of Sunday night, more than 1,700 people were confirmed dead, but estimates say the death toll could exceed 10,000. The most affected areas saw entire neighborhoods reduced to rubble, leaving thousands homeless, injured or trapped under debris. Archbishop Marco Tin Win of Mandalay reported that there is virtually no church or building in the archdiocese that has been spared. The earthquake comes on top of 4 years of civil war between rebel groups and the military junta that took power in 2021. The scale of the disaster has prompted the military government to make a rare plea for international assistance. The United Nations, the European Union and the Association of Southeast Asian Nations and several countries, including the United Kingdom, India, the United States and China, immediately responded to the appeal by dispatching emergency response teams and emergency assistance packages. The Catholic Church is also on the front line of relief efforts through Caritas. Despite these efforts, logistical challenges remain immense. Many regions still lack access to basic necessities like clean water, food and electricity. Moreover, despite the gravity of the catastrophe and several appeals for ceasefire, the military junta has continued to carry out attacks, even as Myanmar's main rebel movement announced a unilateral partial ceasefire to aid rescue efforts. The UN has described the attacks as completely outrageous, urging the junta to stop all its military operations. Cardinal Charles Mung Bo, the Archbishop of Yangon and President of the Catholic Bishops Conference of Myanmar, made a similar appeal in the weekend. I am Lisa Zingarini.
The leader of Sudan's paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, RSF, said on Sunday that his war against the army was not over and his forces would return to Khartoum despite being largely driven out of the capital. His pledge to retake the capital came as Pope Francis decried the suffering of the Sudanese people and expressed his hope for renewed negotiations to end the conflict. His comments came as the army continued to consolidate, taking control of a major market in Omdurman, Khartoum's twin city, which had previously been used by the RSF to launch attacks. On Saturday, the Sudanese army chief ruled out any reconciliation with the RSF, vowing to crush it. The war is the result of a power struggle between the army and the RSF ahead of a planned transition to civilian rule. This came after the ousting of a longtime dictator, who is currently indicted by the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity. The two-year war has uprooted more than 12 million Sudanese from their homes and left about half of the 50 million population suffering acute hunger. Overall deaths are hard to estimate, but a study published last year said the death toll may have reached 61,000 in the Khartoum state alone in the first 14 months of the war. And Sudan's neighbor to the south was also mentioned in Pope Francis' Angelus address on Sunday, March 30th. He said he continues to follow with great concern the situation in South Sudan. In his address, he renewed his heartfelt appeal to leaders to do their utmost to lower the tension in the country. 2 years ago, Pope Francis visited South Sudan, together with the Archbishop of Canterbury and the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, in what was called an ecumenical pilgrimage of peace. Irish priest Father Alan Neville remembers the visit and the Pope's meetings with leaders of South Sudan very well. As a missionary of the Sacred Heart and director of the Catholic University of South Sudan in Rumbek, he's working to help the South Sudanese build a more prosperous country through higher education, as he told Vatican Radio earlier today.
The Pope, I think, has a very special place for the people of South Sudan. It was the visit to the Vatican when he got down on his hands and knees and he kissed the feet of the president and the vice president. That doesn't happen. You know, I mean, we're in a very respect-based culture here, as in, I think, in many places. I don't think my president would be inclined to do it. I don't know if your president would be inclined to do it either. But to actually demonstrate that degree of solidarity. And I was here when the Pope came to visit. I'm working with the Loreto Sisters, and they organized a pilgrimage from Rumbek to Juba. And you saw, like, these young people were walking all the way to Juba to meet the Pope, who they'd never met before. And people are wondering, what are you doing? You know, and they were kind of saying, why are you walking? It makes no sense. And they said, no, we're walking for peace. We're looking to meet the Pope. And even since then, since the Pope's visit, there is a resonance, I think, among the people. He is someone, I think, in a world where we're lacking leaders of great vision. And he resonates very well with the people here. He has shown them respect, because very often when we do stories about South Sudan, it's like, newest country in the world, very negative, all crisis driven. Whereas for him, he sees this as a country of great potential and of great hope. And when you meet the young people, we have loads of young people here, and they've just got fantastic energy. So for the young people, they have that vision. For the Pope as well, I think he shares, they're united in a vision of hope. And it's not going to be easy, you know, for this. They really, there's a lot of work to do, but they're the right people to do it. And we're just there to help support them. At the moment, we're trying to build the university. We've got 100 students. We're trying to build it against, I'd love to get it up to about 300 or 400. But we want to make the situation that anyone who wants to study and has the capacity will be able to come and to study with us, whatever they want to study, and that they'll get a quality education that will help them and their families and their community. That's the vision.
That was Missionary of the Sacred Heart Father Alan Neville speaking to us from Rumbek, South Sudan. Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, Vatican Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations, just concluded his visit to the Central European nation of Hungary. During his time in the country, he spoke with Hungary's Minister of Foreign Affairs and Trade and ambassadors from around the world on the theme of global peacebuilding. The Archbishop also took part in a commemoration for the 60th anniversary of the death of Archbishop Angelo Rota, the late Apostolic Nuncio to Budapest, known for his work in saving the Jewish people. Deborah Castellano-Luboff has more.
Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, the Vatican Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations, visited the Central European country of Hungary, where he participated in the commemoration for the 60th anniversary of the death of Archbishop Angelo Rota, the Apostolic Nuncio of Budapest from 1930 to 1945, who has been widely recognized for his efforts to protect Jews during the Holocaust. During the Archbishop's journey, he left messages of peace, faith, and Pope Francis's closeness. Archbishop Gallagher noted the recent surge in violence has once again demonstrated how historical grievances, territorial disputes, and religious tensions intersect, making peace seem increasingly elusive. These conflicts, he pointed out, reveal that conventional political solutions alone are insufficient often. Therefore, achieving sustainable, just, and long-lasting peace, he insisted, require a deeper engagement, one that integrates not only diplomacy, but also the moral and ethical imperatives that religions have long upheld. He noted the current armed hostilities we observe represent not only geopolitical challenges, but also devastating humanitarian crises demanding urgent and comprehensive responses. In this context, he insisted, the Holy See continues to advocate for diplomatic efforts that place the dignity of the human person at the core of all negotiations and solutions. Archbishop Gallagher also offered heartfelt words during the commemoration of late Archbishop Rota, recognized by Yad Vashem as righteous among the nations for his efforts to save Jews during the Shoah. Archbishop Gallagher said that in venerating the memory of Archbishop Angelo Rota, may his luminous example inspire us ever to raise our voices in unwavering defense of the afflicted and the persecuted, standing steadfast in our sacred charge to safeguard the peace that our Lord entrusts to us. Finally, during his homily at Mass on the final day, Archbishop Gallagher told the Hungarian Catholics that the Pope assures them of his spiritual closeness and prayers. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Pope Francis today cleared the path for the canonization of Papua New Guinea's first saint, Blessed Peter Torot. The Pope also brought an Armenian archbishop and a Venezuelan religious sister closer to the honors of the altar. Devin Watkins reports.
The Church will soon have three new saints and a new blessed, as well as a new venerable, after Pope Francis authorized the publication of decrees related to several causes of canonization on Monday. The Pope cleared the path to canonization for Blessed Peter Torot, a layman martyred for the faith in present-day Papua New Guinea. During the Japanese occupation of PNG during the Second World War, Blessed Peter continued his catechetical mission to prepare couples for marriage. When his pastoral activity was forbidden, he carried out his apostolate in secret, and he staunchly defended the sanctity of marriage and opposed the practice of polygamy. He even confronted his older brother, who had taken a second wife and who later reported him to the police. Blessed Peter Torot was sentenced to 2 months in prison, where he died of poisoning in July 1945. The Pope also cleared the way for the canonization of Blessed Ignatius Maloyan, who was born in 1869 in Mardin in present-day Turkey. Ordained a priest in 1883 in Lebanon, he became known as an excellent preacher in both Arabic and Turkish. After Turkish forces entered the First World War, Archbishop Maloyan was arrested along with 13 priests and 600 other Christians. Archbishop Maloyan and his companions were executed in June 1915 when they refused to renounce the faith. Venezuela will also have its first native-born saint, as the Pope recognized a miracle attributed to Blessed Maria del Monte Carmelo. The miracle attributed to her intercession involved the 2015 healing of a young woman in Caracas with a heart condition. Pope Francis also recognized a miracle attributed to Father Carmelo de Palma, an Italian priest from Bari, who dedicated himself to offering spiritual direction for priests, nuns, and seminarians. The Pope also recognized the heroic virtues of servant of God José Antonio de Maria Ibiapina, a 19th-century Brazilian politician turned priest. I'm Devin Watkins.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Vatican and World News, and many thanks go to the amazing Alberto Giovanetti in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.